Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this August 13th, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We're joined by our friends from the Port Edward School District right now, and I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves so the audience can put a voice to the name. Start with you, Jim.
Okay. Well, thanks for having us very much, James. Yep, we are ready to start the 25-26 school year. My name is Jim Bina. I'm the district administrator and elementary principal in the Port Edward School District.
Thanks again for being here, Jim. Good to see you again.
You too.
My name is Max Ayers. I'm the middle school, high school athletic director.
Max, thanks for being here. Max, you have too good of a radio voice. That's all we're hearing from you. I can't compete with that. I don't want the audience hearing my voice compared to yours, man. That's not fair to me. Thanks for being here. It's good to meet you. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We'll be putting you to work in a little bit here, Max. But Jim, I want to start with you. And I'm excited, too. The school year is here. We're excited for the kids, excited for the teachers, the parents, everybody involved with this. And we're excited for the kids to kind of get back into the routine of things. Our brains need that, especially as the older we get. But we forget sometimes when they're young how much kids need that structure and how much they, whether they realize it or not, they're looking forward to it. You guys got things kind of in the last days here, or last weeks, I should say, getting ready for the school year. How's that going?
Oh, it's going really well, James. I couldn't agree with you more. I think we all thrive off that structure, right? We need our downtime, we need our summer breaks, but the structure is awesome. In the school district, it's been a very productive summer. You know, the months of June and July, throughout June, we had 3 weeks of summer school at Ed Hoyer Elementary School. We had a phenomenal turnout for elementary summer school as well as high school credit recovery. And then in July, we really started picking up some of our projects. We put in a new rubberized gym floor at the elementary school, a new clock and PA system at the elementary school, some major improvements at the high school that really you can't see it. But if you would have driven past the high school, you would have seen the cranes, you would have seen the scaffolding. Mm-hmm. We did some significant masonry repair and brick replacement on about 60% of the building. We're going to do the other 40% next summer. We just ran out of time. Mm. So that was the Holton Brothers Company out of the Milwaukee area. Mm. So as you know, anyone that knows John Edwards Middle and High School is a beautiful, you know, there's different segments. So anywhere from a 70 to 95-year-old building. That brick and masonry needed some significant repair to prevent water damage. And we are doing that work this summer and next summer. We're preserving that historic building. So, I'm very excited about that. Not a real glamorous project. You know, people won't really necessarily see it, but it protects the bones of the building and protects that building in it. And that was very important.
Yeah, keeping the history alive of that, that along with all the memories and all the things that it carries, and certainly the safety and best for the students, the teachers, and everybody involved. That's really good to hear.
Absolutely. So, yeah, those are big projects. Next summer, all of these projects I'm talking about, they were funded by the capital referendum that was passed last April. So that was a just over $7 million capital referendum passed by our residents in Port Edwards. We are putting those dollars into very practical, needed projects. Next summer, we are upgrading our heating and air conditioning units at both the elementary and middle and high school. And we're going to complete that masonry work at the high school. So
excellent.
A lot of good projects happening.
And certainly appreciate the update and the insight. Thank you, Jeff.
Sure, absolutely. That takes us into the start of the school year. As you know, James, here in August, we start to get staff rolling in. And we have five new teaching staff.
I thought I saw that. Five. Wow.
Yeah. Five new teaching staff. We've had, for a number of reasons. We've had some retirements. Other people have moved on. So we are very excited. We have quality individuals. We've hired a new 5K teacher, two new third grade teachers, two new middle school teachers, high school math, and middle school high school art. That's actually seven, but two of them have moved over from our elementary. We have four new support staff, and to a person, we are excited about all of our new hires. We think they're going to bring a lot of energy and a lot of new insights to our district.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to maybe even meeting some of them or anything. You know, we like talking with teachers on the air here and everything. Wishing them well, a good start to the school year.
Thank you so much. So some of the things that lead up to the start of the school year, we have our our standard, you know, traditional back to school in service. That's August 26th through the 28th. You know, when the teachers talk about coming back for in service, what does that look like? Well, we do have some mandated meetings where we talk about the district's business procedures. We talk about special ed protocols. We talk about the technology updates. We talk about some new laws that have been updated regarding handling children and working with children. You know, when the kids come into the schoolhouse in September, we don't have much time for meetings and training. So that's why we have to have a few days in August where we talk about these legal updates and all the new updates in the district. During those 3 days, we do have an evening called Back to School Night. On Wednesday, August 27th, we have Back to School Night. That'll be at the elementary school from 3:30 to 5:30, and at the middle school and high school from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Again, Back to School Night, that's on August 27th. That's an opportunity for students and families to meet their teachers. They can drop off their school supplies in their desks or their lockers. They can see some of their friends they haven't seen from, you know, since last spring. And we're also serving a picnic-style meal in the cafeterias to families. That's free of charge. That's complimentary of the district. So, again, Wednesday, August 27th, 3:30 to 5:30 at the elementary, 4 to 6 at the middle school, high school.
I imagine most parents know this and understand it, but when it comes to this part in particular, Jim, I always like to jump in. I had 10 different schools before I was 10. I moved around a whole lot. And that back to school day, that chance to meet teachers or get to understand the school a little bit more was incredibly vital for me. And just having a little bit of understanding, let alone some comfort in, okay, I'm not walking in completely blind. I know this place a little bit and everything. The older we get so accustomed to walking into a new building like it's nothing. We do it all the time because we did it so much as a kid or whatever. We forget sometimes how important that is for kids. That little bit of reassurance or some of that that takes a little of the anxiety out that first night of sleeping before school starts or something like that. Along with, it's great for the teachers. It's great for the parents to be able to make face-to-face and say hi to each other and get to know each other even a little bit leading into the school year.
You're absolutely right, James. I see that every year going from classroom to classroom on back to school night. And in particular, our new families, our new children, they really gravitate to the teacher. You know, it's human nature. We want to build that connection. We want to build that relationship. And it really does ease a lot of anxiety. So I really encourage our families to come to back to school night on the 27th.
I know one thing that you were really proud of last year and that we were excited to talk about this time last year when we were getting together was the YMCA childcare site. And you guys are going into your second year with that.
Absolutely. The childcare site is entering its second year at Ed Hoyer Elementary School. We're very proud of having the opportunity to take the childcare from the YMCA center over to Ed Hoyer Elementary. And the good news is, James, it is up and running and there are still spaces available. Cool. We would love to welcome more children to our childcare center. If families are looking for childcare, again, it's right in Port Edwards. It's about literally from, you know, downtown Wisconsin Rapids. It's about an 8-minute drive. It is so close by. And we've got a wonderful facility. We've got wonderful staff. We have open spots for children 3 and up. Contact Tracy Verwink at the YMCA, and she can be reached at 715-818-9622 for the Child Care Center at Hoyer Elementary.
Tracy's amazing. She does really good work, and I know how much they also appreciate this program over there, and we certainly know how much the parents and the community appreciates this, and any added child care we can add to our community is always incredibly appreciated. That's a great program to know
about. It is.
Also want to send a shout out to Bennett Cranberry Marsh. And anytime when you shout out a marsh, I like that. But in particular, we wanted to talk about these guys.
Absolutely. Asa and Stephanie Bennett and their team of workers at Bennett Cranberry Marsh, they've stepped up. I met with them, myself, and Mrs. Amanda Wilhorn, who is a second grade teacher. Mrs. Wilhorn was really helped to spearhead this. And the four of us got together last week. We walked through our old elementary school forest behind the school, and we saw what had been a great school forest and now needs some work. So the staff from the Bennett Cranberry Marsh, they're going to be out here in late August, and they're going to bring in their machinery, and they are going to clear our trails. They're going to groom trails. They're going to do some work on our bridge. They're going to repair some benches. So the Bennett Cranberry Marsh is really helping to restore the elementary school forest behind Ed Hoyer Elementary. So Yeah, big shout out to them and their team. Thanks very much.
That's above and beyond.
Absolutely.
That really is above and beyond. That is awesome. And it's not only, how did this start? How did this come about?
Mrs. Bennett is part of our PTO at the elementary, and we just started having some grassroots conversations, and it started with children, too. Started with some children saying, hey, we heard there used to be a school forest here. Where was it? What did it look like? And then talking to parents, talking to our PTO, we just started having some dialogue, and they stepped up. So, yeah, huge shout out to them.
I don't know. I like to pry, but I had to ask because I had a feeling that's where it was going and everything. And it's all the more why we encourage people to be on boards, to be a part of things in their schools and everything. I especially encourage people, if your kids are out of school, to do these things and be a part of them. And you never know where you might have an opportunity to impact your community, to impact the future.
Absolutely.
Like that's literally what we're talking about here, is doing something like that. And the good feeling that comes with that, it feels good to do stuff already, especially when you're working with your hands or something like that. But when you get done and you know it was for a good cause, you know it was for something like this, man, does that feel good. My father is still rolling on things like that, from working construction for many years and everything.
That's fantastic.
It's a really cool. Big shout out to the Bennett family. That's
absolutely
very cool.
Absolutely. I just have to ask Max. Max, did you ever go into the trails in the forest being the elementary there when you were a student?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was, you know, one of those things as an elementary kid where you loved those days where you got to go back into the forest, and whether it was just explore or whether it was, you know, race your friends down some random little area, or even Mr. Martin used to take us fishing in the back, and he'd show us all these different things. And, you know, whether it's trees, fish, you know, random insects on the ground, you know, whatever it was, those are the days we really look forward to. And I'm excited to hear that it's coming back. You know, that's what the kids need these days, get outside and explore and, you know, use their hands and do those things. So that's exciting.
Incredible segue, Jim. Nicely done. Max, when it comes to you're of course a sport athletic director over there.
Yep.
And I talk a little sports with you here. I will let you know and let the audience know right away that I had an ulterior motive wanting you on the show today. We do a playmaker show. We love to talk to local high school coaches and you know, athletic directors and stuff. So we're gonna have to. This is not the last time you'll be on the air with me.
I'd love to hear that.
We're gonna drag you on playmakers too, and in part because one of the things we like to focus on with that show, we talk about the pro games and all that and everything, but we talk a lot about high school athletics and just athletics in the grade school, high school levels. We all know the stats of kids that go on to do sports on a professional level or whatever. They're very small, but any skill set that they learn from any sport can be applied to just about anything they do going forward. Building up their confidence, building up their social skills, their abilities to work with others and some of that. This is where sports lives. This is where one of the things we get from sports. I know that we're excited about the sports calendar, the fall schedule kicking in and everything. How are things coming together for you with the athletic department?
Great. First off, I just want to, you know, just thank you for having me on today. And I'm going to talk about a couple changes from the WIA that came this past April. And then I'll segue into some things with the Port Edwards Athletics. So back in May, there was an extremely important meeting with the WIA. Member schools passed the name, image, and likeness and brought it to high school athletics. So NIL is here for high school athletics. However, it is very different than the NCAA realm. So there are many restrictions that are placed on these type of deals with students that they may receive from the WIAA. The athletes should continue to work with their school's athletic director and their coaches to make sure they're following the guidelines and the specific restrictions that the WIAA does have. At this time, right now, it's probably projected to have just a minor impact on area schools around here. In the Fox Valley, probably it's going to be a little different. Down south, Madison, Milwaukee, those areas, maybe a little bit more impact. But right now, such a minor impact right now.
And I appreciate the note because the kind of, I think we all know how life works. If we don't talk about it, it's going to come up. We're going to have an athlete that it's going to be brought up with, or something like that. But it's also I one of the things I try to do with playmakers as well is when you get these words that are really big right now, or they have such a positive or a negative tone to them. I like to try to bring the honesty to them and the reality to them. And NIL is here; it's not going anywhere. You're not putting the genie back in the bottle with this. I have been very big supporter of athletes having power over their name, having an ability to make something off of their name. These universities on the collegiate level, the head football coach of pretty much every university is the highest paid state athlete. Like, I mean, they have been making money for a very long time. Mm-hmm. These athletes, while a scholarship is nothing I take lightly or anything like that, it is not the equal to a paycheck. It is not the same thing. Mm-hmm. This on a high school level is a little freaky for adults. It's a little freaky for parents and everything. The more we talk about it, the more we can make people understand that it's nothing to be scared of.
Yeah.
It's just something to kind of understand and know going forward. And like you said, it's a break glass case needed. I don't know how much this is going to come up around here or anything, but it's great to talk about, great to get it out there. And no, I appreciate you covering that.
Mm-hmm. Could I just share a couple thoughts about NIL as well? You know, superintendents, we've had the opportunity to learn about NIL and just be as clear as I can. The only difference that I understand, the only similarity between NIL at the NCAA or college level and the WIA high school level is the name.
Yeah.
It is very, very different. I'm an avid listener of sports talk radio, and they talk daily about, this quarterback from, this university getting $3 million in NIL money. That is not what it looks like at the high school level.
Yeah.
It does not look like that at the high school level at all. What it is doing is it is giving our high school athletes some rights and some freedoms to have their image used in some publications and things like that without having WIA penalties. Mm-hmm. All the WIA rules are still in effect, and they still they oversee NIL at the high school level. I encourage any parents who are just wondering about NIL at the high school level to go to the WIAA website, and there's a very clear webpage that says what it looks like at college, what it looks like at the high school level, and you'll see they are two very different things. Mm-hmm. So your son or daughter is not going to come home from cross country football or volleyball with a $2,000 check on a Friday afternoon.
Not getting that Nike deal. No,
you're
not getting
it. Doesn't look like that. So just to be clear, it is here, but it's very different. So thank you.
No, appreciate that, Jim. Nicely done. And what else did you want to get to, Max?
Yeah, other things that happened in May, the WIA member schools also voted to allow unlimited coaching contact during the summer months. So that is now concluded. But really what that came down to was coaches and members of a school team could assemble without restriction from June 1st to June 30th. And then there's a dead week from July 1st to July 6th. And then from July 7th to July 31st, they could coach all they wanted this summer, with the exception of football. Obviously, there's a little difference with that. You can't go fully padded on all those days and do those different things. But all those other sports, basketball, volleyball, cross country, all those things, you could have full coaching contact, which is so good for the schools if it's done the right way.
Right.
But it also just gives students and athletes more time with their coaches that are hired by the school to provide the instruction that they want to give to their students, and then to continue to build that program throughout the summer months when students have a little extra time.
Making them stronger, better athletes, that's fantastic. They understand the playbooks from the coachings and all those things better. The confidence, I come back to that, the confidence that they bid more reps. That's how you build things. That's how you build confidence, the more you get to do it. So getting a little more time to do those things and talk to those coaches, it kind of can get ahead of things sometimes. And again, build up their confidence to whatever they're playing, whatever they're doing.
And we did it as a school. We talked about you can have one day a week. So our volleyball coach met with the girls on Sundays, from 4 to 6. Our girls basketball coach was Thursdays from such and such a time. And that connection and that continuity is going to translate onto the court, onto the field, hopefully in the coming months.
Yeah. And I know we wanted to touch on just one last thing with you here. What did you want to go with that?
We're going to talk about actually a really good thing for eight-player football. So I'm the high school football coach as well. So something that came by with the WIA was they actually expanded the eight-man playoffs, which is awesome because there's now set over 70 teams in eight-man. And they expanded that field from 16 teams to 32 teams, which actually starts this year.
It does start. Okay.
Yeah, so that's exciting. It just brings that ratio of qualifiers to teams in line with the 11-player division. And that's just exciting for all eight-man teams around here. Yeah. And also push the start date to align for our eight-man team with all 11-man as well. So our eight-man team, you know, we started at the same time as everybody else. We get that extra week as well. And now, you know, our season ends a little bit earlier to do the playoffs. But it's exciting, you know, that we get 32 teams in the playoff. With over 70 teams in eight-man.
There was a time where we wouldn't be able to have eight-man football, you know, and so that would mean a lot of the schools would miss out on that, which for one, as a lover of football, I that almost breaks my heart hearing that, but what I mean by it, though, is more is football, there's no getting around it. Football's the biggest game in town. It's a big sport. When we were kids, it wasn't the number one sport, but it's become that. So more kids are going to want to play it. Even if they just get a chance to put a helmet on and go out there and play some eight-man football, they're getting that out of their system and getting a chance to do that experience. They take that with them the rest of their life. I played junior high football. I'll never forget kick returning. It was my favorite thing in the world. I can do picturing it right now and stuff. All of those things, again, along with every sport gives different things, I think. And I think one of the things that football does that's so important is that leaning and counting on somebody else. The quarterback and the receiver being on the same page, the timing of things, no one man can win a game. It's not one of those sports. I love basketball, but basketball is one that it can be a little bit more leaning towards one player and some of that stuff. You could be the greatest football player of all time. You might not win without the rest of the guys. You got to be able to work as a unit. Football teaches that. Football gives a lot of that. And like a lot of the way you have to teach kids sometimes in a sneaky way. You're not necessarily trying to tell them that you're going to have, there's a lesson now. No, you're just kind of giving it to them and they learn by it. But that's awesome. It's great to hear. We know that Assumption is going to eight-man next year. Mm-hmm. So the more teams going into this, and it's also a sign of the times and where things are going. For me, I will come back to this every time. I'm happy to have this. It's so much better than not having a football program. Mm-hmm. That part of it doesn't get lost in me. It's cool. That's great to hear.
Absolutely. You know, football season's underway. We started last week. You know, we're looking forward to the upcoming home scrimmage, which is just a couple days away, against Prentice and Rosholt. Then we have our first game next week, actually over at Southwood County Field in at Lincoln, which is going to be a great experience for our kids. We play a very good Siren team, so that's at 7 o'clock. Our volleyball and cross-country teams are getting underway next Monday as well. So our cross-country team welcomes back a whole host of kids. So actually didn't graduate anybody. So our cross-country team, so Coach Tim Miller, he's super excited to have one of his most experienced teams since we became our own cross-country team a couple years ago. And then the volleyball team's also looking forward to the season as well, as they also welcome back the majority of their roster. And head coach Brian Sternad, who has taken advantage of these, unlimited coaching contact days this summer. He's looking forward to another year at the helm with his student athletes. This is the second year for us.
Good to hear. Really good to hear. We'll be covering those games, those teams, those sports, certainly on our shows here around, and talking with you more and Jim, of course, about not only sports, but about the Port Edward School District throughout the year. Looking forward to it. Now we feel a little more set up. I do want to remind everybody one last thing before we let you go, is as we're getting closer and closer to this, and we're talking about kids getting prepared for school and ready for it in different ways so they can jump right in when it comes time. For everybody out there, all of us adults out there, let's remember that we're the adults in the room and we got to pay attention, keep an eye out on the roads. The kids are going to be bopping around. They're going to be out more a lot. And we want a safe start to the school year. So keep an eye out for the little guys. Slow down for buses. Look around for everybody. Guys, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, James.
Jim, if people have follow-up questions, they would like to know more about some of what we talked about today, how is the best way to reach you?
Absolutely. Give me a call at Port Edward School District, 715-887-9000. My extension is 303.
And Max, for you, if people want to reach out, how can they reach you?
Yeah, same thing. Just call the school district, 715-887-9000. My extension is 237. My bad.
And be sure to follow the Port Edward School District on social media. Keep up to date on all the cool things that they are doing over there. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you, James.
And thank you, everyone, for joining us for another edition of the Rapids Report, brought to you by Crockett Septic here at WFHR.